I wonder if somebody could help us with the significance of Bethlehem. Maybe some young ones could explain the Bethlehem origin of this guy. And maybe it will shed some light. Where is this man coming from? Redeeming the time is a good thing. Somebody quoted that verse, so let's redeem the time, brethren.
I think that we're, even right now, we're looking at these three individuals and we're facing the challenge that simply there's not much written about them. And I think that, you know, when you would compare them with Samson or Gideon, well, you would see, well, we could spend days talking about Samson, we could spend days talking about Gideon, we could spend days talking about Ehud, because there's something written. And I think we would tend to, in our own minds, probably lay some more importance to one such as Samson or Gideon. But I think the significant thing about these individuals is that they were given the same responsibility as Samson and Gideon. God made them responsible to judge his people. And the responsibility given from the Lord is what makes these individuals significant. And the response, there is responsibility given to each and to every one of us. Now, I think Uncle Emil said it, I wouldn't want to be a Samson, I'd rather be a Jair where not much is known. I don't want people knowing about my failures and the things that I do wrong. But I think the significant thing and something there's a lesson for us to learn is there might not be much known about what I do. I'm a servant of the Lord and I do what I do. You know, I might work behind the scenes. I might be the brother who cleans up after a conference and nobody knows. But the Lord knows. And that's what I want. And that's what's important. No service for the Lord, how big or how small, is ever forgotten, because the Lord is the one that would testify. And even with these few verses here, these men who we might not have much to say about, we might not know much about, the Lord knows. And isn't that really what we're seeking after? I don't want my praise of men. I don't want my reward from men. I want my reward in heaven. And I think it's just a wonderful thing when God could have the final testimony for his servants.
Not to imply that we're pushing anything, but I wonder if in truth and in fact, when the Spirit of God gives us little to no history about certain things, if there isn't a sense also in which he's adding to it that word, Selah. Stop and contemplate. Not necessarily stop and try to explore, even though we can do that, but the idea of contemplation. Because little is said here of them. God is saying, he is in the little. He is in the small amount. We might have been looking at Gideon or Othniel, and yes, we will see the great things. But God says, great things are in the little things. He is in the insignificant operations of men. Men who feel it, who feel an impression in their souls about certain things, and they go in for it. Now, John, you're talking about Bethlehem. Are you referring to the matter of the house of bread, where there is sufficiency, and where everything is of God? So here is a man who is not self-reliant, but rather he is reliant on God, dependent on God. And God can take a man who knows what it means to be dependent on him and can use him effectively.
So now we I think these guys know Selah very well, you could tell. They're quiet. And I think they're contemplating. So we know what Bethlehem means, right? Does everybody know that? So next conference, when the word Bethlehem comes, we know what it is, the house of bread. Anybody have an idea what Islam means? Please, if you know, help us out.
Shining.
Shining. Shining. Any other meaning? Because usually those Hebrew names have...
Purity or white?
Purity, white. A man who is in the house of bread have this character of being pure. And as a result of that, he will shine. There is some implication about feeding on the Word of God. Let's go back again. We're making a big circle here. We started with the Word of God. You know, the two-edged sword. But the Word of God has this impact on me. It will keep me pure. I think somebody quoted Psalm 119 earlier on in the study. It will keep you pure. It will keep you healthy. And you will be radiance. You will be shine. In a world around you, it's all there is filthiness. Keep yourself near Bethlehem. Keep yourself near the Word of God, near the house of bread.
I think what's very striking, and we've had it with several judges, you know, in the last study we had the father and the son and the grandfather, and I think the scriptures want to enlighten us to the thought that faith reproduces itself, and faithfulness to God reproduces itself. And here it brings in with Ibzan that again he has 30 sons and 30 daughters. Maybe a brother would help us with the number. I'm not quite sure what. I mean, I'm sure there is help, but I'm not sure what it is. But he has a large family again, and faith reproduces itself.
He had 90 souls that he, at least in his homestead, had touched directly. The 30 sons, 30 daughters, and then the 30 daughters that came and married his sons. And I would think that God here is showing us that while the previous judge, Jephthah, committed a horrific error with his one of his daughters, you can read that in the end, right up there in your Bible, 11 verse 40, that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite, 4 days in a year, because he vowed to give his daughter her life to God if he would fulfill a promise, and so he did that. But that's a separate issue. So I think that the scripture here shows us, or demonstrates that God never wants us to dwell upon a past error. And while you may make a mistake, as a father you make a mistake, or as a young person, there may be one friend, for example, that you let go through your fingers. You know, you knew you should have said something, you should have given them the gospel, yet they moved and you never even shared with them the truth. Well, there's the opportunity for 90 souls in the future. So there's always the concept of restoration. Even when we spoke earlier in the day about how when we see the children of Israel, they kept forgetting what they had been taught, and so God would allow them to come into these difficult situations. If you read the prophets, specifically of Jeremiah, you see that although God is willing to judge us and to allow us to go and get into situations where things may become difficult, he always has a remnant in mind, first of all, and also he always is gracious. Always. So the moment when you realize what you've done, what you've left on the side, what you've forgotten to do, whatever it is, he will be there waiting for you to repent, and then he will restore you. And perhaps sometimes, if you take this example, what you had lost, it'll be restored even greater unto you.
So, Uncle John, you kind of asked a question about Bethlehem, and I think you got an answer. So, we have a question for you.
You got an answer.
Yes, I have a question now. Because as I look here, and I see not only 30 sons, but I look here, and I see also 30 daughters. So, I see sisters in here. And we were talking about men, and young men, and all of that stuff. So, I'm going to ask you, can you tell us something about the 30 daughters?